The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. We have two great guests with us today. They are Jeff Kalpakis, who's Deputy Director of Innovation for the Ulster County and leads operations at the Ulster County Recovery Service Center. And we also have Hillary Harvey, who's an evaluative analyst in the innovation team and knowledge management specialist for the Ulster County Recovery Service Center. Jeff and Hillary are going to be talking to us and giving us an overview of the county's pandemic response program, the Recovery Service Center, and talk about what's evolving and what's new in COVID-19 testing. Welcome, Jeff and Hillary.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having us.
It's good to have you here. It's been a while. So, Jeff, let's start with you. One day I came to my office building here at the Health Department in Kingston, And I walked upstairs to the second floor and thought I had a walk-on part in my favorite Star Trek movie, because almost the entire second floor had been converted to an emergency operations center with phones and flat-screen monitors and people running around and lots of things going on. Can you walk our listeners through what led up to that and what happened there, what you put together? As your team put together, I should say.
Yeah, absolutely. Team effort. First of all, I will say the details are hazy, as many of us who are on the front lines and who have been like near the front lines, we're obviously not like first responders or care providers, but we've been behind a lot of the operational capacity building for the county and the response. So let us kind of hop back into early March. And, you know, it seems like, I know COVID time is strange for everyone out there. But I remember, you know, we'd see reports of what's going on in Washington State. And then it's like, okay, it's growing nearer. And it still had this kind of nebulous feeling to it, where we knew it was going. It was not a question of if, but when. But still, it was kind of a surprise in terms of how quickly we needed to move when you like actually start to have to operationalize. So we went from right in early March, spinning up the Emergency Operations Center to kind of have a command and kind of get the pulse of the whole operation. And that's run by our great folks at Emergency Services and Steve Peterson and his team, just to make sure we had proper communication all around. And things happened pretty quickly. I know we had our first test March 8th, and after that we had to spin up a hotline because we knew that we had to very quickly respond to a massive amount of public need and demand and, you know, wanting certainty and what do we do and anxiety. And this is not something that the Department of Health at current state was designed to handle, nor should it have been designed to handle, because it just wasn't in the playbook to respond to a pandemic. So yeah, in those early days, it was, okay, we have X amount of calls per day at the Department of Health on any given week. Now we have 10X, 20X calls. And so how are we gonna respond to that? So some of the, you know, the broad strokes of what brought us to that, you know, that as you walked in and called it the Star Trek mission command. It was the Houston, we have a problem.
A big problem. And, you know, it's so interesting because here in the health department, we do have a division of emergency health preparedness, and we do go through drills on various things, like what if there were a bioterrorism event or what have you. But I don't think any of the planning prepared us for what we saw with this. I mean, it was just unprecedented.
Well, it really became, as you said, there's like a certain amount of risk mitigation and preparedness you go through, but it really quickly became apparent that it was an all hands on deck. What do we do? we don't have a lot of time. And so that's, you know, the early stages of the hotline. At times it felt like, you know, we all know the, like, you know, ready, aim, fire cadence, where it, instead it was like fire, aim, okay, now we're ready, but here comes the next challenge.
But in a crisis of that magnitude, I think that that was really necessary, right? It wasn't about getting it perfect. It was about getting something going and then fine tuning it as we went along.
That's exactly right. I think that the very early on, all involved realized, and because we were kind of decentralized, we had this nice like hub and spoke model where there was centralized decision making, but then smaller teams were going out to actually do the work. And we just knew as kind of like our marching orders that, you know, success was going to come through rapidly adjusting or fixing a mistake rather than getting it right the first time. Because any time just spent dragging our feet on waiting for the perfect amount of information was going to be time lost, where we just needed to have either the phones up or just get as many things moving as we possibly could. And I was working on a very thin slice, and there were so many people working on,
right,
huge, like massive projects to the side. But that's, like I said, I was, Hillary and I were on one spoke here, trying to just at least have a net and where we could manage, like I said, some of the volatility, uncertainty, and complexity that was happening in the public, and making sure that they can connect to a human as much was reasonably possible with that first wave of demand that we had.
Right. And I remember that you guys created, I'm not exactly sure who, but maybe it was a team, created a database, right, to track all the calls. How did that come about? What was that all about?
Yeah, so we actually spun up, there were a couple different solutions that needed to be stitched together. It was great. You know, I was relatively new to the county at the time, as was Hillary, and we became grizzled old veterans quite quickly. But it was amazing to see some of the talent that was able to step forward. And we made some quick decisions where it's like, okay, how are we going to collect all these calls and how are we going to route them? And so just kind of like looking what we had in terms of applications at our disposal and making some really quick decisions with our super talented IS crew, the information services folks, just to, you know, like I said, like we're dealing with a massive amount of service requests that were coming in. Mm-hmm. So we had to kind of repurpose some existing tools and retrofit, so to speak, in order to, right, bend it into the shape we needed to collect all of these different, categories of need that we were getting.
Right. And because the follow-up is really essential, right? When people are, you know, filled with anxiety and maybe they have some serious pending, you know, health issues that, you know, you can't afford to just have those slip into the crack.
Yeah. And I mean, I think right there, you just gave me a jolt of anxiety because that was one of the things that we were absolutely concerned with was, because I had this feeling, and I've said this a few times, Hillary and I've talked about this, where at times it was like, oh my God, this is really rough because the public, we're all demanding a certain amount of, or we're demanding certainty from an uncertain situation. The only thing we do not have is clarity. And so a lot of times the guidance we would get from the state, it would be 4 or 5 bullet points. And then 2 weeks later, it would be 50 bullet points. Right. But in that time between the 4 or 5 bullet points and the 50 bullet points are all these questions. And it was like, well, we got to get this to the public health officer. We got to sit on this. We have to be able to follow up with this particular person. Right. So it was just a really quick exercise in triaging, uh-huh, and separating in terms of follow-up and who is the best person to either run point or who are the problem solvers on our team of like communicable disease nurses. And so, right, that was, yes, I am gathering back sweat as we are talking about it.
So. And it was so great. You know, of course, Pat, our county executive, Pat Ryan, was right on this and much more, giving his full support and leadership on this. So it's really terrific. And Hillary, so talk to us a little bit about what happened after that, you know, after that hotline. I know, you know, I was on a few shifts with that and I,
yeah, some of the anxiety, appreciated that,
you know, from the public, and my colleagues were there too. So walk us through what happened next.
So, I mean, we basically had like 3 days to start setting up this hotline, and we based it on the existing infrastructure at DOH. They, you know, you guys have a communicable diseases line, but we wanted to make sure that the public health nurses on staff had the time to really follow up with all of the monitoring that they were going to have to do with symptomatic people and getting people the medical direction that they needed. Meanwhile, the rest of us who could just kind of act as, you know, researchers for the public and just use our skills and our county resources in terms of our relationships within the county and all the different departments to really find answers for people and also set expectations just to around it. So, you know, when we first started, there was no COVID testing. We had no way to know who had COVID or, you know, things were evolving in terms of how it was transmitted. So new information was being, you know, brought out day by day, hour by hour. And my role was to kind of listen to all of that, follow all of that, and then try to, you know, write it up in a way that our agents on the phones could explain it to the public or, you know, find answers for the public, you know, and sometimes those updates were hour by hour, you know. So there were a lot of conversations like, that's a really great question. You know, let's take your number and we'll get back to you. We're going to research it. We don't have any answers on that currently, but these systems, you know, the state set up a COVID hotline that we would often refer to. You know, things were being built as we were trying to get answers for the public. And what really drove a lot of the county response, and I think that this is a real credit to the county executive, just recognizing that the hotline was this great kind of pulse check, because the residents of Ulster County ask really wonderful questions. They're really informed, they're really plugged in, and all their questions, while we may not have had the answer, or maybe the second time they called, the answer had changed in that time period, you know, it really informed, I think, you know, we brought all of those questions and the trends that we were tracking on that giant television. You know, what are people calling about? What are they looking for? What information do they need? We would share that with the county executive in daily briefings through our emergency operations personnel and, you know, report back. And then the county executive really used that information to help drive the pandemic response in collaboration, obviously, with Dr. Smith, our commissioner of health, who, you know, together lockstep, they really devised this great response for our county residents.
And people were pretty understanding for the most part, the public.
Well, you know, I mean, we definitely had some heightened calls, you know. The great thing about those early days when we were all in the DOH conference room before we really understood how COVID was transmitted and that all being in a room together may not be the best way to answer the phones, you know, we had 911 operators who were there. And
pretty
they
skilled.
took a bulk of the calls, and we were so grateful to have them because, you know, they could really help us figure out if something needed to be escalated. They had the connections at 911 if there was an emergency, or they really taught us a lot. Because a lot of the people who were answering the phones, they didn't do that normally in a day-to-day, and certainly never before in a pandemic, as far as I know.
And the 911 people are really skilled at getting to the essential information and keeping people calm enough to get the information, actionable information they need, and so on.
Yeah, they taught us a lot of skills in terms of just, you know, how to work with people who were worried, how to really ask the right questions to find out what the real need is, to help identify. Because sometimes people call with a lot of questions and it's hard to tell what their need is. And so just through the course of the conversation, that's a lot of the work that we all did on the hotline, just to understand, like, do you need to talk to a nurse? Do you need to talk to your doctor? Do you need, you know, just general information? What information can I provide that will help you in this moment?
Right. Well, this is great. And this is such an interesting topic. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our guests today are Jeff Kalpakis and Hillary Harvey from the innovation team of Ulster County. And Jeff and Hillary were instrumental in the pandemic response in helping to get the hotline operation up and running, and then subsequently the the Recovery Service Center. So Jeff or Hillary or both, tell us what happened. You know, so the hotline's going along and then it evolves as some testing comes online and some food assistance programs. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So we had to go remote, which was another technical challenge. We're like continually building and rebuilding and trying to improve and make a more stable response. But as that's happening, Pat is looking at, okay, we're collecting all this need, but now we can kind of strategically anticipate where food insecurity is going to expand. There's Matilda's Law, asking seniors to stay put. We're kind of locking down things. And so Project Resilience gets spun up in mid-March. It was launched March 17th. Also working in the background, if you remember in the beginning, it was like, there was such a nationwide shortage of testing that we were following guidance from the CDC that was essentially rationing tests to anyone who is coming from China, Iran, Spain, Italy, or known exposure to a positive individual. And so we at the county, Pat, along with others, were able to spin up the Tech City, our first mobile testing site. And soon after that, we had Ellenville was next, and then Grand Street. So, within a month or so, there was three testing sites. And with that, we have the sense of like, okay, this is going to be around for a while. There's all kinds of need coming at us. And maybe what we can do here with the COVID hotline is we're going to stick around for a while and let's kind of create like a quote unquote front door for the public, at least during the pandemic or anything that is pandemic adjacent that may, touch upon other departments. And at this point, they're really not much that the pandemic hasn't touched. And so in a certain way, one of our missions here, what we're trying to do is remove some of the complexity of navigating a large institution when it comes to the pandemic. And we take, not that the complexity doesn't exist because it's still there, but because there's all kinds of programs and services everywhere. But what we do as we pivoted to the Recovery Service Center in June was kind of make some more like firmer working relationships with departments. We have a cross-functional team here at the Recovery Service Center that it's so we're composed of many different county employees from DSS, Department of Health, probation, all kinds of folks who are all day reading up on Hillary's guidance and quizzes and mm-hmm. making sure that we can, as Hillary said, kind of unpack the need, get the pertinent information, the most relevant information, and then get it to the appropriate department, unit, or division that we're working with at the time.
Right. I think that many people may not know that probably close to 80 or maybe over 80% of what the county does is human services, right? From veterans to seniors to to parents.
Office of the Aging was a huge partner throughout the pandemic. Yeah,
especially with the food programs, right?
Right.
I mean, that was a big thing. It was known as Project Resilience, which really, as I recall, ramped up in a big hurry, right, to get food out to people.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and that was, I think led by the Department of Health's environment team. They partnered with quite a lot of municipalities to actually make the deliveries and, coordinating with area restaurants to provide the food. I mean, it was a real community effort that the county was, one piece of. Mm-hmm. I think it served a lot of people.
So now fast forward a little closer to the present, testing is much more widely available, right? And so where are things at now vis-a-vis the Recovery Service Center? And are things kind of in a calm period or is it hard to tell?
You know, a couple of weeks ago, I would have said we were a little more calm, especially relative to spring and even summer. But with the reopening of a lot of the Ulster County schools, there's 9 school districts in Ulster County. You know, we've had to do a lot more research in terms of finding the helping people find the right test site. So while Tech City is not active anymore as a mobile test site, New Vance HealthQuest, which was the medical provider that was providing the medical services and the specimen collection at that site, moved their operations to distributed throughout all of their offices, and they have an urgent care in the Hudson Valley Mall in the town of Ulster. So there are now 10 privately run test sites throughout Ulster County. And, you know, because of that, they're not necessarily standardized. You know, there's not like one way to get a test or one way to provide tests. And there's various kinds of tests now too. There's rapid testing of developing and
antibody
right, testing yeah. and diagnostic mm-hmm. testing. So, and that, you know, they all have different turnaround times and, you know, whether a lab is necessary. So what we do at the Recovery Service Center is we stay in touch with all of our test sites partners throughout the county on a weekly basis and have a database of questions like, do they test people under the age of 18? For a while, that wasn't as available. And in response to the need to test children who were, you know, getting ready to go back to school or who were going back to in-person classes or, you know, remote school kind of operations, they did spin up that capacity locally. So, you know, we have a lot of our calls at the Recovery Service Center do help people find the right test site for their particular needs, whether they have insurance, whether they, you know, what kind of testing they're looking for, what location they are in. So we have, that's one of the biggest, I would say probably a large part of the questions that, mm-hmm. that we do get.
And I know, you know, working in the opioid response arena of and having done that even before the pandemic, we know that there, you know, that issue in particular, the opioid epidemic really took a really bad turn, you know, as people were under social isolation and other stressors. So, you know, the needs just ramped up in that area for sure, you know, with services being cut or people not, you know, just isolation is not the friend of any kind of addiction, obviously. So that there was just a lot going on, even beyond the hotlines in this recovery center. Was that just calls, you know, in the middle of the night of agencies saying, I can't find such a service for such and such a person. And you know, and helping and calling, you know, the commissioner of social services on his personal mobile phone and saying, help, we need a place for this person. You know, so it was like, there was a lot going on. But, you know, it's so great that, you know, the leadership was stellar. The work that you guys did was just so amazing, you and your teams and everyone who participated and the community itself. I mean, people and organizations really stepped up to the plate in a big way. And it's really makes me very proud to be a member of this community, really, and very proud of my colleagues and coworkers and fellow public servants. So if people want more information, where do they go?
Well, they can start by calling the Recovery Service Center. Our number is 845-443-8888. And while this radio broadcast isn't in Spanish, we do have full-time Spanish capabilities, so people can tell their Spanish-speaking friends to call us as well. And then there's also the county's COVID website, which is a little awkward to say on in the radio, but COVID19.UlsterCountyNY.gov. And there you can find a lot of self-service options in terms of, like you were talking about, we have resources for substance abuse, community resources that people can go to just to find out. We have some of the testing options listed there. There's a lot of information on that website that we try to maintain and keep up to date.
That sounds great. Well, you know, whenever we have great, interesting topics and really terrific guests, we always run short on time because it's just, we want to keep on going. But unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. So thank you, Jeff and Hillary, for all of the amazing work that you do. We're so appreciative, you and your colleagues.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's great. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.